It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We're here at Champy's on Baxter Street, home of the world's best fried chicken. Or I don't know if it's the world's best, but I've not had better. So,
as far as I'm concerned, yes.
In the world, according to Roddy DeBulsey, your host for the show, it is the best. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guru at UGASports.com, the man who has all your updates for you. And we also have Jim Donnan down on the end. You may have heard of this guy.
Coach.
Maybe not.
Let's get in here with me a little.
Probably hadn't.
Yeah. So we got Coach Donnan here. We're making him move around a little bit. He's got a lot of G-Day stuff to talk about. Of course, we all do. But, you know, we have Coach Donnan on to basically tell us the stuff that we don't know, which is about 98% of the show. So
all the football stuff.
Yeah, all the football stuff. Now, when we talk food, we kind of move him to the side. We talk beer, we move him to the side. But when it comes to actual football, that's why we have Coach Donnan here. I think the only or one of the few head coaches to have ever led the NCAA in both rushing offense and passing offense. Is that true, Coach?
I don't know.
Don't lie.
We definitely did it, though.
Yeah, we'll see. That's I don't know, but definitely we did. Okay.
But that surely happened.
So, again, I don't know where he ranks on it, but that's pretty impressive to be able to do both. So, Coach Donnan knows his stuff. He watched the G-Day game, and he's going to have a lot of insights for you. Quick shout-out to our sponsors. Just run through them real quick. This is Athens Ford, Champions Fried Chicken, of course, where we're standing. 11 Alive, where you're watching the show. Athens Ford, our biggest one, of course. Your Pie. I know a lot of people came into town and they tried Your Pie for the first time. They also went out and tried Academia. I had a bunch of people hit me up with Academia Brew Pub. They went out there and tried that. And, of course, Champy's was absolutely packed. So the only people.
Hey, did people take your advice? You're the Duncan Hines of, you know. Seriously, I mean, you got the rating. You know, there's a 5-star rating for the players. And if I just can't ever believe that you would ever give anybody – forget about being the sponsors, but if you recommend someplace somebody to eat, they're going to say, hey, that guy really knows what he's talking about.
I know my food. I mean,
and I guarantee
you don't get to be 295 pounds without doing it this way.
We're fortunate to have these three really good sponsors to give you a pretty good variety of different kinds of food between Champy's and Your Pie and Academia. But I really think our other sponsors are on fire, too, with Ford and
Athens
Ford is outstanding. And then 365 Game Day.
Yeah, 365 Game Day. I'm sure they moved a ton of gear. And, of course, if you haven't bought your gear from 365 Game Day, you've got we've got Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up, right?
That's good.
There you go. Take care of the folks. Get them some Georgia gear while you're at it. And, of course, Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham.
He's Robert Strong.
Yes.
Your dad also
You talk
wants
about
a subscription.
Memorabilia and everything. Yeah. I've seen a lot of things at stadiums before, but I can't forget this. I'm walking out after the game, you know, going back, and this guy is going through the garbage can picking out
the cups.
The cups. Well, I mean, that's serious. That's serious deal.
I've seen the guys do it after the game. They kind of snake through.
This is after the game.
Yeah.
These guys over there snaking through for some big cups.
Yeah, and you'll see them. They carry out about like 30 of them, you know. And well, it's like, what are you going to do with this? Are you recycling?
But, you know, I'm usually not around after the game like that to see that. So that's kind of a marvel for me to see that happening, you know.
I've seen people do that at the Masters, too, because they get the little almost disposable ones, you know,
right.
With a little Masters logo on it. And you'll see people walking out with like 40 of them. I'm like, did you just root through a Masters trash can to get all those?
I drank that many beers.
This is true. I took him once. That happened. I do want to – I'll mention the sponsors later in the show, but I want to jump right into G-Day. And, Coach, give me your first overall impression when you left, you know, aside from the guy digging up plastic cups.
Right.
What was your thoughts on G-Day?
I think the first thing is just the overwhelming presence of that many people so fired up, the buzz of support that – Kirby, the staff, the players have generated. And two things were very salient to me beside the game. Halftime, when I saw those 17 other signees, knowing that these guys are going to supplement the team that we got, made my mouth water. And then seeing the guys that were recognized for being on the team last year, the seniors that they recognized, knowing that those guys actually came back, five or six of them, and really made that team, you know, from a leadership, from a Roquan and Sony and Nick and all those guys, Carter and Sanders, just coming back. So it really kind of bridged the gap there, showing about what's been in the past and how it set the tone to turn it around and the future, seeing the nine guys that played in the game on the roster, a couple of them couldn't play because of injury, and the new guys coming in just gave me a real sense of, hey, this is a happening situation right here. So that's the best way I can describe the way I felt about it, because you always like to see, you know, when you're a coach, when the first day of practice, when your freshmen report and all that, you're all excited about seeing how they're going to go. But now when they come in June, and for this point, some of them come in, you know, actually at the 1st of January, it just gives you a chance to get your team going a little bit quicker. And if you look at the way these guys have made an imprint on the team already, whether it be Fields or Mays or Cox or whoever it might be, just the fact they're there and they've had that behind them. But overall, that was the big thing for me. The gap between last year and this year is not near as big as it was between 2 years ago and last year. So I think it's always hard to stay up on top. But
yeah, I would expand upon that point, because, you know, a lot of us were excited to see the freshmen out there. And at one point, I tweeted out a photo of the offensive line, the second team offensive line. You had Cade Mays at right tackle. You had Notori Johnson, who redshirted last year, at right guard. You had Warren Erickson at center. Then you had DeAndre Hill at left guard. I'm like, now granted, you know, that wasn't the starting
second. Trey Hill?
Trey Hill.
DeAndre, is he a combination? Is that his first name?
That is his first name, actually.
Hey, I'm glad to know that, man. So, I know I never can.
And I go back and forth. I never
can. Is that because his thighs are so big you have to give him the big name?
Yeah.
Hey, I like that picture that he showed about the guy, you know, because I told one guy actually tweeted that, hey, Coach Donna said, and then who was the left tackle?
At that time, it was Pat Allen.
Yeah, Pat's a good, solid player, but I think that in itself gives you a lot of encouragement, and then you add the fact that Wilson, as a redshirt freshman, was starting at right guard, at right tackle, was impressive. And for Fields, being out there with that young a line and with no scholarship running backs and playing with some down-the-line receivers, although they're good ones, it was just very impressive.
But he was throwing to Kyrus Jackson, you know, another early enrollee. We saw Brent Cox out there. So there's all these new guys out there that I want to see. But at the same time, the question was, well, who are the upperclassmen that are going to step up? And I thought that David Marshall had a heck of a game. I thought Keon Brown. When's the last time we mentioned him?
And oh, boy.
Yeah. Keon Brown was smoking people. DeAndre Walker, I've said it countless times on the show, I don't know if he's a three-down outside linebacker. I mean,
he can make plays.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when he gets
in. What about William Poole?
Oh, yeah. Well,
we had that.
Yes, you did. Now, let's give credit to Coach
I'm just saying William Poole, though.
You did, but nobody else did. And when you said it on this show, I kind of cocked my head at you like, who? And it's not – remember, we had William Poole as like a five-star, then the four-star. So we thought highly of him. But his name wasn't getting a lot of buzz. And then when I wrote my 3-2-1 right before G-Day, I mentioned – more than one person told me that Kirby was on William Poole like a duck on a June bug in practice, just chewing him out.
A duck on a June bug. You've been hanging out with Donnan too long.
He's trying to get him ready. But
it sounded as if – now, we've seen coaches, you know, get on a player and then that kid just plummets down the depth chart. But to me, if Kirby's yelling at you, he chewed Richard LeCount out last year all the time.
Well, he knows what they're capable of.
Exactly.
And that's
so
what you got
to
do.
You have his attention and he wants you to perform at this level. He's going to yell at you until you get there. And William Poole plays both sides. You know, again, a guy very young in the program. Who's in a position of need, and he's over there switching jerseys, which is really hard to do because those things are so tight. And he's playing both sides, and he had a heck of a game, big interception. So congrats for nailing that early.
Here's the point I want to make without interrupting too much. But, you know, when you have a position of need, obviously you recruit to it, you know, and looking forward to the future. We knew we were going to lose, you know, Davis and we were going to lose Sanders and some of those guys. And we recruited heavily in the defensive backfield last year, and we're doing it again now. But the thing that really sticks out to me in the limited time that I go over there is the fact you have two of the most premier coaches in America helping these guys technique-wise. Kirby Smart, a national championship coach four times over as a coordinator. Mel Tucker, a pro coach, a pro coordinator. And these guys are getting just macho coaching every day. And you add to the fact that Tyson Summers, who's an outstanding coach, has been a defensive coordinator, come in to supplement these guys, just like Jay Johnson is with the offensive staff on offense. Can't do a lot on the field, but behind the scenes, these guys are getting really good mental reps on these walkthroughs and all this. And you're getting a lot of individual coaching on the technique to go with their physical skills. And I see the big development between last year and this year because of that. Yeah. And it's one thing to have ability, but you got to be able to showcase it. So, and I think we got tremendous coaching from top to bottom, no question about it. But the individual technique that it requires to be in today's society, a defensive back where you got to play press coverage, where you got to be out there on an island, where you got to make tackles in the open field, I just think the technique that they get is unquestionably among the best in the country, pro or college.
I wanted to know actually what both of you thought kind of about the defensive backfield on Saturday. Full disclosure, I was not a G-Day. I did listen to it on the radio on the way up to Charlotte for Rivals
Camp. But you were providing a good thing that's going to really help our show.
Yeah, sure. I paid a lot of attention, and
me how's everything going to Rivals Camp, I'm basically waiting for you to tell me. Although I did shoot you a couple of little
– How did the defensive backfield look as a whole? I couldn't really get a sense of that from listening to the radio.
I didn't see a busted coverage. Not that I can remember. I mean, now, the quarterbacks did not make a lot of completions. You know, that's – I think Aaron was like at 50%. Justin was a little bit higher than that. But you didn't see guys running wide open down the field.
But in all fairness to the quarterbacks, and I'm a quarterback guy, you know, when you're not running the ball a lot, and that's the reason for that is we're limited amount of running backs. Yeah. I mean, you know, Swift's not playing.
Zamir's not playing.
Zamir can't play. Cook's not here. But you don't want to run Holyfield and Harrion in the ground. But really, you know, you're basically getting a 4- and 5-man rush, and these guys are teeing off. They're not running any draw plays. They didn't run any screens. The only screen they ran was a bubble screen. So these D linemen are just teeing off. So the quarterbacks are not going to have as good a percentage because they're throwing down after down. The more passes you throw, the more you're going to miss. So as compared to if you fake up in there and you run a play action pass, the guy's wide open, you know. We didn't run many. Most of ours, what we call show passes, where it's mostly just a basic fake or just drop back and throw it. So the percentage wasn't quite as high as it will be, as high as it's been in practice when they incorporate the running game.
When they have to deal with a running game, absolutely.
Our quarterback situation is serious as back when Reagan was the president, serious as Berlin. We have a good quarterback situation.
We do. But to your question about the secondary, there's a bunch of interceptions for one thing.
Sure.
You know, so you give them that. And again, not putting that on the quarterback, just saying that I kind of expected.
Interceptions don't bother me.
Yeah. I was more worried about, again, we've talked about the secondary and replacing three guys there. And the fact that, you know, when they completed a pass, it was usually contested. You know, those guys were right there. And, again, if you know the defense guys knew going in that there was going to be a lot of passing.
Good, and they bring you some groceries right
there.
Yeah,
there we go. Oh, he's got the – okay.
But here's the thing. We're playing without Devon Wilson and without Webb, too. So, those are two guys that are really in the mix there. But
and you got Tyson Campbell coming in.
Hey, how about Tyson Campbell? Now, I'm serious about this. Ran a 10-300 meter the other day. Now, did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's why you listen to our show.
10-3?
I mean, 10-3, serious, man. That is serious.
You know, when you start hitting
at roughly 6'1.5", 6'2", I mean, he's a kid who –
look, if you start running 10-3s, then the, you know, Coach Pyrus is going to come over and start poking around. Hey, what's going
can't
on
have,
here?
You can't have any of that. But seriously, you add that. And how about Stokes, really? We hadn't talked about Stokes except the first show. I said, hey, his speed is starting to – he's getting some technique. He really didn't have – you know, he really didn't have a lot of experience as a DB coming in there. But I thought he did some good things.
He was
all over it. And
five tackles in the game.
Yeah, the one thing that's very evident, and we've said this on the show – and I've been waiting all week to get on the show, so I'm talking a lot here. But I just want to make sure that everybody understands this because the way we practice, we are a great – tackling football team, whereas 2 years ago we missed a lot of tackles.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is because we got better players, but the other thing is they really work on technique, on tackling, you know, inside out, using leverage, using the right technique. So all 11 of your players, the number one thing I want on a guy on defense, first, you better be able to tackle.
Yeah.
That's the difference between offense and defense.
So that's been a major issue in the secondary a few years ago, and I remember saying, put Malcolm Parrish in. Now, remember, Malcolm Parrish is, you know, he's 5'10". But that
he'll
man
get him on the
tackle,
ground.
Absolutely. And so I'm like, you know, he might have trouble with this jump ball. This guy might be able to get bigger than him, wrestle away. But that guy's not getting any yards after the catch. And Malcolm did
a
great job. But to your point, Eric Stokes, a lot of people thought – because remember, he's our last second ad. We had it like at 11:30 the night before signing day, and we changed our plans. We were there
fast.
Yeah. He's the last guy I actually saw run a 10-3-1 in practice. You know, and we had a story a few weeks ago about him. I have a very famous photo of Nick Chubb jumping right before he runs his 100-yard dash, 100-meter dash as a senior. And the guy in the lane next to him is Eric Stokes. And Eric's like, you know, every time I see Nick Chubb, he always tells me I'm faster than you. You know, they bring up the fact that when they raced, Eric, as a true high school freshman, lost to Nick Chubb, the senior. Barely. And what happened was when Nick Chubb's running, those big arms of his.
Did he elbow him a little bit?
That elbow came over to his lane. And so Eric's like, if I get hit by that, I think he said, I will be destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, he was a toothpick at the time,
too. He gave him a little bit of room there.
So he kind of held back a little bit. But Eric was, you know, everyone knew he was a speed guy. And when I talked to him right after, when he told me the story, he's like, Roddy, you don't understand. I am so much better now. And he mentioned the coaching. Says, I'm so much better now. And that's not to take shots at – where was he at?
He was at
Eastside?
Eastside, yes.
It's not to take a shot at his coach's Eastside, but he said, the stuff that I have learned this past year – because he didn't
play – well, that's true for anybody, though.
Well, I mean, but it was – and now, all of a sudden, you see it. So, like I said, we can talk about the freshmen coming in, and we talk about the guys that are moving up, but those – you know, where's that mid-depth?
Well, you
Eric
got
Stokes
him.
Is one of them.
You got him, and you got Speed, and you got Bishop. I mean, you got
Matt
guys,
Landers.
You got, yeah. I mean, you got some guys.
Those wide receivers. Yeah. Some of those mid-level guys are popping up.
And the thing that helped them, you know, playing some special teams, even if they weren't the starters, they got to practice on that, and it gives them. And those are just points for the fans to understand that you never give up on ability. You understand if a guy can really run. There's a place for him on your team, particularly if he continues to have the right kind of attitude about developing. And I thought, I mean, you know, you look at how far he's come, how far William Poole's come. I just think our secondary should be, if Campbell can come in here and then Webb can come back from this meniscus, okay. I mean, Webb was like pennies from heaven for me watching he and Baker out there at two corners. And then, you know, McGee, I mean, he's a player, too.
Tariq is a tackler.
And he can get them down. So, I think if we just get a little bit more depth on the D-line and if Tindall could come in here and challenge these inside backers a little bit, we're going to – you know, we're always going to have a good defense with Kirby and Tucker around here. There's always going to be that. But they're going against some really good offensive linemen the other day, one offense, one defense. But it's a competitive situation. It wasn't a sloppy scrimmage. They didn't have a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties, and it was a good show.
I'm glad you mentioned Stokes. I wanted to touch on him again real quick, and then I want to move on to those linebackers. Stokes was a guy we saw last year in one of those closed scrimmages that they let the media come out and watch a little bit of, and he got absolutely abused that entire day. And I was sitting here thinking, this is just a speed guy. You know, they brought him on because he's fast. To hear that he's come that far, that really does. It speaks very well, I think, to what you're saying about the level of coaching, because he was a guy that almost out of the gate, I was like, that's not great. However,
he's going to make a contribution now. I really believe he's going to give you depth. And we'll see how quick Wilson comes back. But I tell you, that was a tough injury to lose that guy. I mean, he was playing star. He's just above the fray as far as being ready to go, playing in good competition down there in Florida. And he was going to help us quickly. But, you know, hopefully he's got a tight surgery there and he's going to be okay. But
he was all grin Saturday.
But that's a good-looking group of guys back there. And I think Bishop, to me, is a guy, if you just look at him, you know, is a dominant player in high school, played a lot of positions, was a good quarterback in a Wildcat-type situation. And a lot of times it takes a little while to make that transition of being a guy that had the ball all the time, or you know, now all of a sudden he's playing more of a situation where you got to attack and be a defensive back. I just think his ability is going to come to the front, maybe not quite as quickly as some of them, but he's too good an athlete not to help us out. I think he'll be coming on too.
So what they what kind of plate we got down there?
That's going to be behind door number three.
That's the patty melt today.
Patty melt with some fries and some hush puppies.
Yeah, and by the way,
we'll save it for you, Patty.
I know that we harp a lot on the chicken and stuff. It's a weird thing that I have an affinity for here, but the hush puppies at Champions are outstanding. So if you love hush puppies, get down here and check them out.
Yeah, they got a little kick to them.
I'll go out of my way to come get these.
You like the hush puppies?
They're awesome.
I saw a woman come in like 2 weeks ago. She walked in and I was putting up a thing at the counter, and she walked, they said, "Do you want to sit down?" You know, she goes, "No, I think she said I want 8 hush puppies to go."
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's on the menu.
Are you serious? That's what her order was?
That's what her order was. 8 hush puppies to go.
That's the diet meal.
You never know what you're going to get. And when somebody I was doing a game out at Arkansas State. And when you got to fly into Memphis and then drive out there, it's pretty good haul. So I was getting hungry, so I pulled into this Dairy Queen in the drive-thru, and this lady in front of me was really big. I mean, you could tell from the back she was big, and she was talking in the speaker. She said, "I want a sundae, and I don't want to see the ice cream for the chocolate syrup that's hitting it."
That's how I order mine, Coach. Hey, come on.
And I'm listening to her. She knew what she wanted. I said, "I don't want to see any ice cream. I want to see that chocolate syrup all over it."
Hey, that's how I get those peanut butter parfaits over there. Real quick, I want to give a big shout-out to Athens Ford and let you know what their April specials are. Right now, you can get a 2018 Ford Focus for under $15,000. You can get it for $14,120, or you can lease it for $199 a month. Ford Focus, fantastic car. Ford Fusion, which actually ran in one of those down to the Masters. That is a great car. It is $6,000 off for a 2018 Ford Fusion during the month of April. You can also lease one of those for $199 a month for 39 months for qualified buyers. Payment plus tax and fees, 10,500 miles a year. So, again, under $200, you can lease a Ford Fusion. And, again, I've been telling you guys I'm trying to decide between that Ford Escape and the Ford Explorer. You can get the Escape right now for $18,345. That might have made my choice right there. And you can also get 0% APR for 60 months for qualified buyers. So,
are you a qualified buyer?
No.
But you're getting there.
But now it might be one of those things where all of a sudden Rachel Nabulsi has a new car.
There you go.
Roddy Nabulsi drives.
Get a new contract for Roddy.
Yeah. But that, I said I love that Ford Explorer. Right now it's $8,000 off, or you could lease one for $399 a month for qualified buyers. Again, 10,500 miles, payment plus tax and fees, $399 down. So, again, get out there, because if you're going to lease one, great. If you're going to buy one, that's the only place that you're going to get that lifetime powertrain warranty. And they're all huge Georgia fans. They're Georgia people. I guarantee you they had – so many people probably asking off to go to G-Day, but staying up because, you know, Saturday's a big day out there.
Hey, drop in and talk ball with them.
Yeah. Oh, they love that. Every time I walk out there, they're like – and they ask me questions like second, third down the list. You know, it's not like, well, what do you think of Justin Fields? You know, they're like, well – how's Pat Allen going to work it?
Who's going to be the third left guard? Yeah. Who's the third string left guard?
Who's our long snapper? And how's this guy look at punter? I mean, they just got – and women out there, they know their football. And so if you, hey, just want to swing by and take a test drive, let them know that UGA Sports sent you.
How about this crowd we got in here today, man?
This place is absolutely packed. And apparently Saturday it was loaded.
Right.
And I can't tell you the number of people that hit me up and said, hey, I went to academia for the first time on Saturday. Or I
should listen to your show, man.
Well, I'm just saying the word's getting out about our sponsor, so let's hit some questions.
So Alan Verbonic, one of our longtime listeners, guy who tunes in every week, sends us some good stuff all the time. He made a comment on something that I definitely wanted to get to, and he says, Monty Rice is going to lead that defense along with Natrez Patrick. What did you think of Monty Rice's performance on Saturday? 14 tackles on the day for the sophomore.
Well, you know, he really is the kind of guy that's always buzzing around, and every time he's ever gotten in a game, you know, he just goes till the whistle blows, and that's the kind of guy you like at linebacker. Really good motor all the time, and he's got good leadership. And, of course, he's replacing a tremendous guy. He's going to be in the top 10 in the draft. So I think it's just a question of continue to work hard. And, you know, his example's good out there, the way he plays, and he plays hard. And he's just a baller. I mean, I'm really happy with him. I'm glad to see Natrez hanging tough, doing everything he's supposed to. His experience will certainly help the defense, too. And we just got to hope that, you know, Tindall, I mean, you know, Taylor, we got some guys. I mean, but it's going to be a composite defense, maybe not quite as star-driven, but it's going to be the kind of team that makes you earn everything. Like Roddy was saying, it wasn't anything easy for Jake the other day. I mean, there were guys recovered.
Well, Elijah Holyfield had nowhere to run.
Didn't really run.
Harry had nowhere to run.
It's going to be – it's going to be a really good defense, and I think it's going to be able to build a lot of momentum with our schedule the way it starts. And, you know, realistically, hopefully we'll get some D linemen to come through to give us some depth. But schedule-wise, I mean, right now we only have one team that's even remotely close to the top 20 on our schedule. So this team's got a chance to develop. There's no question about that without getting really challenged early like we were. Of course, South Carolina is going to be a tough team. It always is. But it's not like having to go to Notre Dame or, you know what I mean? It's just we got a chance to build some depth and build some leadership too.
I'm curious. You mentioned obviously Monty stepping in and trying to replace some of that production they lost with Roquan Smith. Look, who knows what the future holds for the kid. You hope he's a first-round draft pick. You hope all of them are. But do you see some of the same qualities in Monty that you saw in Roquan last year?
Well, just from a competitive situation, the fact that he can make inside-out plays, you see him running around the field. I don't know if he's nearly as fast as Roquan, but there's not many people anywhere that have that kind of jets. But just always try to do with your defense. You know, you got position-wise, you got to be hesitant about making comparisons. The thing I like about him is he knows what he can do and he knows how to play the system. And that means a lot, too, because a guy that knows his assignment and can get to what all these different looks that we were able to get. And I think one thing I remember, the first show we ever did last summer, I said that I felt like our defense was going to be markedly better because we were able to run more schemes than we did the year before because of the evolution of maybe having some nickel packages we didn't have, of having some different kind of looks because our defense was so young, you know, trying to learn the system. But same thing here. If we can keep the multiplicity of looks and the way we can give defensive trouble and continue to improve, because everybody's going to watch your tape. They're going to try to do things that attack you, that hurt you. So you got to keep evolving all the time, you know, as far as – and Monty gives you a guy back there has experience to give you those calls and get you in the right things. And the overwhelming thing about Kirby Smart, he doesn't stand pat. I guarantee you, he's got those research guys right now this week after they put the game to – bed yesterday, watch the tape. I promise you, they're looking at the best teams in the country, what they're doing good, pro and college, and they're gonna always keep up with what the trends are and work on your weaknesses. So Monty gives you that shot there, being experienced enough to get those calls in there.
Dylan Brooks says, real quick, I love Monty, but don't jump past Tay Crowder. He had a good showing on Saturday.
Tay's another. I meant to mention Tay's another solid guy that knows what to do and plays hard. He's good. He's an excellent player that playing his technique. You know what I mean? He play with the other 10 guys out there makes him – I mean, he knows where to be, where he's supposed to be.
And I will say, too, about Tay, kudos to the staff for finding a new home for him. Yeah. He came in as a running back. They put him over there the linebacker position, and he's done very well. I've been very surprised that he's moved past, you know, just space filler in that role. You don't see a lot of guys be able to just pick it up and run with that, but he's a guy, I think, who, was so raw coming out of high school that he could have been
raw,
anywhere.
Very raw, very big.
Yes.
And he's by far Georgia's big, you know, least tallest running back. And a guy like that who can't get that shoulder, can't get that forward lean, that's a running back not long for this earth because he's going to get destroyed. they needed help over there. He switched. He did not seem to have any complaints about it. I mean, seemed to take it in stride. And now all of a sudden he's making big hits. And you talk about a guy with speed. I noticed a lot of his tackles were on the other side of the hash.
Right.
I mean, the hash.
Just Steve, both those
That's
guys.
That's a guy that covered a lot of ground. Remember, like you said, he is a former running back. This guy with speed, and he knows the angles they're going to take. He, in other words, when he's in run support, you know, he is. He knows what they're going to do because he used to do it. You know? So I love seeing those, like Webb and guys like that. It was a wide receiver. They're like, I know what all your tricks are. I know what you can do. When a running back tries that little spin move on him, Tay is going to spear them through the back. I mean, he's just going to take them out. They're like, oh, you're going to turn your back to me on your spin move? Great. I know it's coming. I know how you're supposed to lean into the side.
Right.
You know, I remember hearing one of the coaches explain when they do their spin where they're supposed to shift their weight to. He knows exactly where it's going to be. He's going to undercut them. And, again,
I would say
another
this,
mid-level guy stepping up. You know,
I would say this from an overall perspective here, and I had a couple notes here that I wanted to check. That's why I look. I would say that, Patrick is a lot like Carter, from the standpoint Reggie Carter last year, we need a little more consistency out of Trey and Taylor, but I think Rice right now just a little bit more in tune with everything, but all four of them bring a lot to the table, and it's good that they've been around, and they've had experience on special teams, and it's not like there's going to be a major drop off as far as the quality there. You're just not going to have the super talent. Nobody's going to have that. It's hard to replace a guy like Roquan, but hopefully Tindall will come in here, and you just never know what's going to happen with
Jaden Hazelwood.
You never know what's going to happen with Hunter and McBride, how they're going to develop. Yeah. It's a good situation there as far as maybe a little bit more depth maybe than we have even in the D-line.
Yeah, I was about to say Jaden Hunter looked comfortable out there. He wasn't doing that whole look to the sideline, kind of shrugging, asking the guy next to him.
Looking for Grantham?
I
saw that at Florida
game. Coach Grantham. I talked to him for about 20 minutes Sunday. Me and Coach Grantham, we're tight.
Where did you see him?
He was at the Under Armour camp. His son was there, so he gets to go in.
So,
what grade's he in?
I don't remember. I didn't even see his son. I just know that he was there, So he's walking around and he's watching all these guys practice.
What did he say about the Gators?
We actually didn't even talk about Florida. We talked about his time at Georgia and some of the kids he recruited,
Did he ever get any eye contact with you?
Grantham, we've been friends for years, but he was really cracking me up because we were talking about Reuben Foster and Jordan Jenkins and John Theus and that Dog Night, he's told me some of the stories
How about the Nebraska game? No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. We got a few questions.
Theme coming out.
I should have brought up that Louisville game. Hey, you remember the Belk Bowl when they gave up 400 yards?
Yeah, I don't think that this conversation would have gone long.
No, I didn't go. Yeah, we didn't
beyond
go
that.
Long.
All right.
He does a lot of good things. A
couple questions here rolling in. Ab Harding, as always, one of our loyal listeners, one of the guys who tunes in all the time.
All right, Ab.
He wants to know Jay Hayes update.
Yes. Well, you mentioned Notre Dame earlier, Coach.
Yep.
So I remember it was 2 nights ago.
It was.
I called Jake and we started talking about getting a story prepped for Jay Hayes. He is a defensive tackle graduate transfer from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote a story yesterday. I was out of pocket yesterday. So tell everybody what the latest is on him. I know there was – I told you to get a story ready. You tell me who he was. I told you to get a story ready because we were, from our sources, we were hearing that Georgia was in a great place to land this graduate transfer. Explain who he is and what he does and where it stands.
Okay, so Jay Hayes, a guy coming from Notre Dame as a graduate transfer. He's a fourth-year guy, but managed to get all his classes out of the way before that. Decided to leave during the spring. Has only been away from the program now about a month.
Wow.
And at this point, I guess we're still considering him an Oklahoma commit, although he did scrub a lot of those mentions and things like that from his Twitter account. Hayes, 6'4", 6'5", almost 290-ish, a guy from originally Brooklyn, New York, Poly Prep High School, if it sounds familiar to you.
Yeah.
It's where Isaiah Wilson played his high school football. But Hayes decided he wanted to go on to some different pastures, different way from Notre Dame. Went out to Oklahoma, committed to them, subsequently visited Georgia. Now we've learned that he has canceled another official visit that he had planned, which was to Alabama this upcoming weekend.
Wow.
As I said, there's nothing on Twitter to indicate necessarily that he's changed his mind other than there are some things that used to be there that aren't there anymore. So I don't.
And our sources say that Georgia made a very strong impression. And
how could they not?
Sure.
Well, yeah, it's true. But, I mean, this is a guy who, again, he's got Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, all the major schools after him. Because as you've mentioned numerous times, defensive tackles are at a premium. They are tough to find.
Well, here's the point.
Here's a guy who's actually been successful. So everybody in the nation wants him, and I think Georgia stands a good chance of landing him.
Here's the point. If you look back on the MO of Kirby Smart, his first summer here, he gets Tyler Catalina and Wilson and Smith from Alabama.
Maurice Smith,
And Catalina from Rhode Island. And both of them started for us. Then last year we needed a kick returner. We had a guy not make his grade, so we bring in Crumpton. Then we needed a punter. He brings in
Nislik.
And we needed another. We weren't sure about a kicker, so he brings in the kid from Wofford and puts him on the team. So he knows what the team needs, and he's not going to stick around and be static there. Now,
and he's not a graduate transfer, but don't forget J.R. Reed.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
a given. I mean, it's not a graduate, you know, but still.
That's a given there. I mean, he came in here. But I just think that there's always going to be a little bit of a surprise when you hear about a guy like that, but it's not a surprise to me because you look at one way to use the rules now. The graduate transfer can – come with some ability, but also be ready to play right away because we need the immediacy of a big body there just because of hopefully, you know, Davis will be able to come in and help or, you know, Waltower, what's his name?
Or so, maybe Wyatt takes a step forward, too.
But you never know about that. But I just believe – and Wyatt's made a lot of improvement, too. But that's a good question there. What else we got here?
While you're doing that, by the way, talking about the defensive line in the game, David Marshall had a big game. I thought Wyatt looked good. I'm trying to think of one more guy that stuck out to me.
We didn't get to see Carter as much. He's been a little bummed up a little bit, but he's really good.
There was
a good player.
One more that I remember.
How'd Ledbetter play?
Ledbetter was everywhere. You know,
guy's made tremendous strides.
He had a
player.
He had a. I don't remember what offensive lineman it was, but he did that club rip thing, and that guy was just standing there. And he was in the backfield, and it was two moves. It was 1-2, and he was in the backfield, standing there like, "I got you, quarterback."
People don't talk either about because he's such a given that he started as a true freshman after being here for the summer. How about Thomas?
Oh yeah,
left tackle. Did you see some of those blocks he made?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to say, but there was one guy, he knocked him, that jab, and you watch that guy's head whip back, and he hit him dead square. I mean, the hand fighting, he killed it.
Hey, that's the guy that's going to, we it's such a given here that we don't really talk about.
No.
That guy is a blue chip offensive tackle, man.
It's incredible.
He called it.
Well, you should have. I mean, that's a good call, but, I mean, come on.
I doubted him, so I tell you something else every time.
I tell you something else that made my mouth water is looking down there at Hill and then seeing Salyer. I really think Salyer's bigger.
Yes. Now, maybe not in the thigh area. Yeah, the thigh master. That's his new nickname.
I got Hill.
Trey Hill is the thigh master.
I got Hill a deal off the cuff here that he's going to be working on Thighmaster for. What was that girl's name?
Sally Struthers.
Sally used to be on that show, and she was doing the Thighmaster.
All right, we got a couple.
Suzanne Summers.
That's right. I'm you about 30, man. I was way before my time.
She was stronger than bridge cable.
All right, we got a couple more questions rolling in. As for the Jay Hayes thing, just wanted to throw one more thing in there on that. Talk to my guys at Notre Dame. They say he's a two-down player, a run stuffer, a guy you want in on first and second down to kind of control that.
That's good.
It's exactly what Georgia needs, in my opinion. I think they could always use more guys like that.
I asked Dave off camera, how many tackles did Jay Hayes have against Georgia? Seven.
Seven? Wow.
Way to go.
Five solo? 5 solo.
Wow.
And 2 assisted.
And that's, I will say, that's not an insignificant part of his entire career numbers.
Yeah.
I think he's got like 37 career tackles, so about a quarter of everything he did came against Georgia.
You know, a good point there.
Hey, some guys have their best games against Georgia. I've seen that in the past.
Good point there, though. There's a lot of difference between bringing in a guy that you haven't played against and looking at the tape at all as compared to looking at the scouting report.
That's true.
Seeing all the tape that you watched on him before you played against him, then playing against him, then talking to your players, how do you think he'll fit in here? You think he can play here? Because our offensive line can say, hey, this guy gave me trouble, or he didn't, or hey, coach, he's not. We got better players here. So it's not much of a reach when you take a guy like that. You know what I mean? That's some really strong recommendation when your own players tell you that. Just like when your players say, when a guy comes to campus and say, hey, coach, we don't need this guy here. He might be a good player, but he's not what we want off the field.
I'm not
talking about Hayes. Hey, I'm just talking about
Jim. I can tell you exactly how Georgia scouted Jay Hayes.
I know you got that scouting report.
I do have that scouting report.
And you didn't even turn it out either.
I did not. I'm
glad you didn't. What'd they say? I hope it's good.
So on Georgia's scouting report on the it's the Notre Dame 2 Deep. Y'all can read that. Good luck.
Roddy stole it.
I found it.
Found it at O'Hare Airport.
The scouting report on Jay Hayes, they had his height, weight, shows some moves, plays hard.
I like that.
So that's the scouting report on Jay Hayes.
Not surprising that's Kirby Smart would like a guy that plays hard.
This the was kind the, of this scouting, was, this the kind of scouting report you want on the guy when they're not very good, not very big, but he sure is slow.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll tell you some of the other ones on here. Does not play with confidence. This is a different player. Looks pretty. Can he run? Can't run. Can't find the ball. Guesses at everything. Bad player in spring game. So, yeah.
way to keep that on file, Ronnie.
Well, it comes in handy sometimes.
All right. Before we get into recruiting, I do want to say give a shout-out to Your Pie, one of our great sponsors.
Yes, Your Pie. I saw so many people come into town, and actually we had people saying, hey, I tried it out in LaGrange, you know. So
yeah.
A lot of people are trying Your Pie. Every time I mention, you know, try one of the sandwiches they have or try the gelato, but – I mean, if you just need a good pizza, it's about, you know, size of this box. You go in, it's cheap. You're going to get it in like 6-7 minutes, and it's going to be the best pizza you ever had. And if you get a chance, Drew and Natalie French, the folks that put together Your Pie, that, you know, the founders of it, that came up with the concept, huge Georgia fans. They have a corporate headquarters here on Millage. I mean, these people are Georgia through and through. I'll get a text from Georgia.
So we're going to give away a franchise if somebody shares this 50 times.
Yeah. if anybody's going to have a franchise, it's going to be this guy, you know. So please swing by Your Pie when you get a chance. They are great supporters of our show.
And they have great Academia beer.
They
also
do. I went in there for Your Pie Day and had their beer. And, again, we also had a lot of people that were texting us saying, hey, I'm trying Academia for the first time when they came into G-Day. And all the reviews I got were through the roof. I want to give a quick shout-out to Academia for the beer we're having today. I'm having their
the Kolsch,
the Dom Kolsch. It is a phenomenal.
What do you got?
And you're having the
IPA.
He's got the all-day – I mean, the IQ.
IQ IPA.
IQ IPA. High IQ, right?
Yes.
High IQ.
Well, no, that's the double IPA. The IQ IPA is the standard.
Okay. So he's having that. And, you know, a lot of people think of that as being, you know, a sour, you know, IPs being a bit sour. It's not. It's delicious. And this Kolsch, this is the one when they come in on Oktoberfest, you know, with those giant steins of beer. This is what's in it. It's a German style. It's fabulous. You could drink this all day long and actually still be able to know your name at the end of the evening. Now, they do have some out there that will cause you to forget who you are, you know. they have a couple. They have a new fruited version of Niobe's Tears. It's a ghost, and it was so popular at the Classic City Brew Fest that they are releasing more varieties of it. So I had to look it up. On tap right now is the mango version.
Niobe's Tears.
Niobe's Tears.
Everything he touches. You've also got boysenberry, blackberry, blackcurrant, everything he touches blend. We're releasing a Galaxias Porter. That's brewed with some lactose and Condor chocolate nibs.
Yeah, now I'm a Porter guy, so I'll be out there. And again, so, you know, some they have their – their standard ones, you know. Again, every time you go out there, you can go out every week and you're going to have three or four new beers. They turn them over that fast. It's unreal. But if you want my recommendation when you get out there, try the Noctua. I love that. N-O-C-T-U-A.
How can you try all these different ones? I mean, seriously, and walk out of there.
You get an Uber.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But no, you can get a little flight.
Yep.
And so it's a little wooden tray, and it has beers, you know, almost like shot glasses. And you can try a bunch of different beers that way. And, you know, you're not having, like, six of these, you know, six pint glasses, but it is
Well, you're definitely a connoisseur, yeah. That's for sure.
Well, now, Jake knows
and
way
I mean
more about beer
than I do. You guys are really good.
But, again, we don't recommend anything we don't believe in, you know. And there have actually been a few sponsors we've turned down because I'm like, look, if I'm going to endorse this, I'm putting UGA Sports
exactly.
and
got
our
to.
Name on.
You just look
this.
At the quality of yeah. people you're endorsing.
Yeah, so it's we only take the best.
You're walking advertisement. Look at
you.
Right
we're trying. Got the
All right, we got a bunch of questions rolling
Let's
in. Right. Recruiting.
It's good. You're the man.
It was a huge weekend in that
God,
regard.
How many updates did we have?
We topped 40 over the
40 updates
over yesterday. So we got over 40 guys.
I'm going to hit you before you didn't. Who was the best looking kid you saw here?
The best looking kid I saw this weekend at Rivals Camp.
No, here.
Oh, here. Oh boy.
In the last couple weeks, who was the best looking kid?
Jeez, that's a tough question. I think the best looking kid I've seen the last couple of weeks, I would probably have to say, physically, I would say Zykevious Walker. I'm very excited
I've
about
heard
him.
That too.
I'm excited about him from a physical standpoint. I thought play wise, your boy Max Johnson was really spinning him up at Rivals Camp in Charlotte. His little brother, Jake Johnson, is massive and going to be a ninth grader. So
tight end.
Couple of studs in that group. A lot of people asking about legitimate chances with Trey Sanders or Noah Kane. IMG running backs, both of those guys. Trey Sanders was up this weekend. Pretty interesting because he's visited a few times now. Was formerly an Alabama commit. The big thing to watch out for, I think, with Trey is Florida. I think Florida is kind of the odds-on favorite, in my opinion, because his brother is there.
Is he from Florida originally?
He is. He's from Port St. Joe originally. And Florida signed his brother. Umstead. So I think they got a real good shot. Now, Kane is a little different story. I do feel better about Georgia's chances with him.
He's from IMG, too?
He is from IMG as
Where's
well.
Where's he from originally?
I don't know where Kane's from originally. I want to say Louisiana, but I may be off, so don't quote me on that. Jarvis Hanna wants to know, does Georgia have a shot at getting the number one running back in 2019, or do they go after running back from Clark Central, Jonathan Sewell? I don't see him going after Sewell. I will
Sewell's
say –
Sewell's good, though.
He is a good player. He is a good player. I just don't think that – you know, with they're going to be pretty selective, I think, this year. Sewell's got some great offers, and I think he'll find a good home. I don't see him having a run at the number one back because that's Devin Ford. He's narrowed his list down to Penn State, I believe, and Michigan, maybe. I don't know. What another Big Ten? He's a Virginia kid. So he's got a couple stacked up there.
I'm just asking these questions people like to know in Devin Ford.
Chuck
Ward. So let me ask you this. When you were up there, how did the quality of talent compare to the one – of course, you had the rain over here in Atlanta. How did the quality look up at Charlotte compared to that?
Honestly, there was really no comparison. Atlanta was that far above it. It was that far ahead. Now, you know,
just
there's
the proximity and everybody coming over.
Exactly. Now, there's some great players up in North Carolina, and there always are. Every year we go up there and we see some guys who impress. But, you know, top to bottom, I thought Atlanta was the stronger camp.
All right.
Chuck Ward says, does Clay Webb, five-star center, showing up instead of going to Tuscaloosa mean we have a fighter's chance?
I spoke to Clay Webb again on Sunday while Jake was at the Rivals camp in Charlotte. I was with Trent Smallwood, our other recruiting writer in Atlanta, well, Roswell High School, at the Under Armour camp. So we, you know, they had their camp shortly after we had ours. A lot of great talent out there. Best player I saw, Broderick Jones.
Ooh.
You've heard Broderick.
Left Clay tackle, 6'6", 300 pounds. Clay. The reason I mentioned Broderick is he was a left tackle, but Clay, again, did not lose a rep. He's one of the best centers guards I've ever seen. I asked him, I'm like, you were at Georgia yesterday. Why? Because when he came to our rivals camp, he mentioned Clemson, Alabama, and Auburn. Then I said, well, you know, not exactly the top three, but the schools that are kind of in the mix the most. And I said, who else are you kind of looking at? And he mentioned South Carolina, Georgia Tech, and a couple other schools. Did not mention Georgia. So I'm like, okay, well, so it doesn't sound like Georgia's really in it for Clay Webb. And so I figured he would be at A-Day on Saturday, this past Saturday. But, no, he was in at Georgia. Said that I said, what was your overall impression? When I left, I just knew that Georgia was going to be a really, really good school. So, again, now when you write that out, you know, what is his quote about Georgia? It sounds very dry. It doesn't sound like it was anything, but you have to
catch
it.
He's very emotive, though.
Yeah, you have to catch his context. I mean, he was very deliberate in that. And
he likes to read a lot of books, right?
He does. He's a very bright guy. He spent a lot of time with Sam Pittman. I think that helped Georgia's chances a great deal. Now, here is the caveat to all that. His uncle is a huge, huge Georgia fan. And his uncle asked, hey, take me on a trip with you to Georgia when you go on a recruiting trip. So I asked him point blank. I'm like, wait, so did you just come to get your dad into the game? I mean, your uncle into the game? He's like, no. So,
now, did his uncle even come with him?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So the point being, but here's the thing, you know, hurts to get a kid on campus.
It's hard to get a guy if you don't get him on campus.
And now if he just showed up and they went through, just did the walkthrough with everybody else, okay. But the fact that he sat down with Sam Pittman and I asked him, you know, what do you think of Sam Pittman? He goes, I love him.
Well, and I'll say I was very surprised by the visit. I was surprised by the decision of him to show up here, regardless of his reasons. It doesn't really matter, as we said. But I really do still have a hard time seeing him getting out of the state
Same
of
here.
Alabama.
I agree. But
hard to get a kid from Alabama, I'm telling you.
And one that good. You know.
But it's and the reason is there are just so few players there compared to the state of Georgia. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, but he definitely, he's a
I can't complain
premier
anywhere.
Player. All right, what else we got here?
Ab Harding says, "Hey Jake, what do we make of Rambo Hunter's tweets? Is he committing tomorrow?" I'm just gonna to be honest with you, Rambo has been one of the most interesting characters I've covered in some time in recruiting.
D-lineman
some people
Florida.
Believe, yeah, some people believe he's been committed to Georgia already. Some people say he's not publicly committed. Maybe he's silently committed. There was a story someone did with it said he was committed. I mean,
he told somebody where he was a writer down in Florida, a newspaper. He says, "You know, I'm committed to Georgia."
Are we recruiting him hard? I mean, do we offer him?
Yeah, yes. Georgia's been on him very hard.
A lot of times when a guy's like that, you know, he says he is, and then the coach would say, "Hey, hold off a little bit."
That's a good point because I spoke to a number of guys that have Georgia offers at this camp, and you wouldn't be surprised, but I think a lot of our readers might not understand that they have an offer, but they still have to come to camp this summer. And
we'll take you as long as you come and show us you got the tools.
Exactly. So we want to see you can commit right now. That's fine, but
so we got nine right now signed or eight?
Eight committed.
Now I will say this: we should be on commit watch. Kobe Hudson, athlete out of LaGrange.
Commit watch. I like that.
Commit watch. So he's going to announce this Friday at 10 o'clock at Troup County Library. He is down to Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Miami, and Florida State.
So next Tuesday, will you be here or will you be with Papa?
I will actually be covering that. I depending on the time, I think I'll end up being down.
You know, we're going to need to probably do the show on Wednesday.
Oh, that's fine. That's totally
if you can
fine
do that, Coach. We'll talk about it. I know you'll be okay.
What am I going to do on Tuesday?
But Kobe, now remember, he is an athlete. Okay, he's
you would hope so.
Well, I'm just saying we have him listed.
Don't go out on a limb there, man.
We have him listed as an athlete. We don't have him
athlete.
As a position. This
Tell
is a guy that can play
him.
A lot.
He is an athlete.
He's 6'1", 183 pounds. Georgia wants him as a wide receiver.
That's good.
And he's a 2020 kid. He says that he knows where he wants to go. He made his decision on a visit. So I asked him where he's visited lately. And he said it was on a visit. He didn't say a recent visit, but his two latest visits are Auburn and Georgia. So I'm pretty sure it is an Auburn-Georgia battle, especially for a kid from LaGrange. And I think Georgia has a good shot right there. So, but Kobe Hudson, 2020 kid. Granted, it's 2020, but –
you know, the thing about Auburn
he's
now.
He's impressive. A lot of people love that kid.
The thing about Auburn is being a player that it wasn't as the success they had last year. You know, you're talking about on consecutive weeks beating the number one and number two team in the country.
Yeah.
Like they did. And they're using that. I mean, even though they folded there against us and against Central Florida. But, yeah. I mean. that's something you can use to tell these. And they putting guys in the pros, and they're doing a lot. I'm not on an Auburn kick. I'm just saying realistically, we got to be aware of their presence now. I mean, maybe not to the point of Alabama or Clemson, but I would say after those two, that's got to be our next biggest deal on a local guy within the contiguous states. I'm not talking about Florida. I'm talking about Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee.
Well, Auburn's always been a thorn in the side.
They have, but they've been up and down, though. Yeah. You know, there was a question where the coach is going to be back going into last year. You know what I mean? So now – all of a sudden they're getting some good players. I mean, come on, man.
Let's see. We got another recruiting question in here from Kamel Oz. He wants to know.
Kamel, where's he from?
I'm not sure. He's on our board, though. I know that. Kamel wants to know, do you think Georgia signs at least three of the following group? Mississippi 4, North Carolina 2, Josh Harris, CJ Clark, N'Kobe Dean, Jaron Handy, Byron Young, and Nathan Pickering. This is a total shot in the dark on my part. I don't think they signed three. Personally, I think that if you got two out of that group, that would be very good. Byron Young is the guy I would give you the lead for right now.
Just hit what they are and what they do. So everybody's not as
Josh Harris and CJ Clark are defensive tackles. Byron Young and Nathan Pickering are a couple of defensive ends/DTs. Jaron Handy is a guy that really doesn't even ring a bell right off the hand. Oh, I'm sorry. I do know who he is. He's from Mississippi also. He's been committed to a couple of places. I don't think Georgia's going to end up being the spot for him. N'Kobe Dean is one of the best linebackers in America, but it looks like Alabama's going to be a pretty tough
team. So you think we could get three of those maybe?
Yeah, no, I think you get less than three. He asked me kind of to over-under it at three. I take the under.
Well, that's a tough question there.
Heath Broadway says, what is your take on Quavaris Crouch out of Charlotte? Did have a chance to talk with Quavaris, the number one player in America.
Spell it.
Quavaris.
Go ahead.
I was a multi-time spelling bee champion.
You were?
I was, actually.
What school was that? Elementary?
You would not know that by the copy he turns in.
Quavaris.
Hey, listen this. If D-U-L-Y spells Dooley, what does J-U-L-Y spell?
July.
All right, you got it. I thought you were going to say Julie. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I started to say that.
I'm glad you didn't on this show, man.
Crouch, number one player in America. Talk to him. Really think Georgia is kind of out of the picture at this point. Looks like South Carolina. Tennessee is another
South
one
Carolina,
that's really
Tennessee.
Pested. FSU has impressed him. It's a very interesting list for him. But he told me straight up, he said, look, I'm not afraid to compete. I'm not scared of what that all means. He said, but at the same time, I want to be smart, and I want to find the right opportunities for me. I want to find
sounds like Muschamp and Pruitt talking.
So,
but hey, you never know. There's been a lot
of
guys.
Please let him play linebacker.
A lot of guys accept the challenge. I did see on your site there, which you guys let me look at once in a while, where they actually are starting to consider us as linebacker.
Yes.
Which it should be when you look at the history of the last 10 years of the linebackers that are prevalent in the pros and the ones we're putting out. I mean, come on. I mean, that's good. Now we got running back linebacker getting ready to be quarterback I mean, come on.
I think
offensive line.
You mentioned the right thing, too, on Quavaris. He wants to play running back, and the schools that are leading the way are the ones that are telling him that.
Yeah.
But he looks like a linebacker. Each and every time I see him.
Well, now
you can always – you can fib a little bit and say, look, we'll let you start there. But then, hey, if you don't make it, you can move to linebacker.
Kind of like Alante Taylor.
Alec Ogletree had to be promised that he would play safety his first year. He did. And Grantham said, okay, you did it for a year. Now do you want to make money? Let me get you closer to the line.
Well, that's a good
and all
way
of a sudden
to,
he moves
that's
up.
That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it worked out great. And Alec just signed with the Giants, I believe, this year.
You got to be realistic, though.
Yeah. And to the point, I remember when Derrick Henry was coming out of was it Yulee? Where is he at?
Derek? Yeah, out of Yulee.
I went down and saw him, and, he was playing all these positions, and they were playing Trinity Christian as their big, big game of the year, closing seconds, and they needed the ball back because they were down. Coach sent him in as a defensive end. He flies off the edge, gets a sack, and then marches his team down the field, scores the touchdown, then scores the two-point conversion. Ton of D1 kids out there. He's head and shoulders above all of them. And everyone kept telling Derrick Henry, you can't play running back. You are a first-round draft pick as a defensive end. And he's like, no, I'm going to play running back. And sure enough, Derrick Henry was right. And I agreed with him because I'm like, look, this kid can play running back. I know he's big. I know he's too tall to play running back. But with Corvarris, I don't back him the same way I do Derrick Henry. I think this guy is
– thicker.
Well, you know, probably yeah. Jeremy Pruitt's talking to him just like he did. He recruited Henry, didn't he? Jeremy Pruitt for Alabama.
Remember. Yeah, I thought you were saying for Georgia. I'm like, no, but Alabama, absolutely. Yes,
Charles Grant. I mean, look at Charles Grant. Yeah. We told him, hey, Charles, we'll let you play running back, but, you know, you're going to be a DN.
Josh Rowan says, does Georgia take Owen Papo and Tresman Marshall? Buddy, if they both want to come, they will open the doors wide.
I'm surprised because for a while there, I thought they were kind of hedging on Tresman Marshall, which I didn't understand because when I went and saw that kid, he hadn't played almost all year. He had like a shoulder injury, and then they had their swamp game, I think it's called. Folks can correct me, but their big grudge match every year that's the lights out, they had been holding the kid back and only letting him play a little bit of defense, and then he was going to get to play offense. He get out there and ran roughshod. Tresman Marshall, when you say, is he an athlete? This is a guy who can play both ways. That kid is a monster, and I wasn't sure, you know, how serious Georgia was about him, but if he's going to commit soon and you can get Tresman Marshall, you take him. And, of course, Papo is a freak.
Well, hey, Papo was over here last week, right?
He was, yes. He
came on Wednesday, and visited. He and his mother.
Mama.
Always it when you get the mama here.
Now, he did not come to G-Day. I know a lot of people have asked about that multiple times. He went to Penn State for that. But we'll find out April 1st, May 1st, I'm sorry, next Tuesday.
I'd rather him go to Penn State than Auburn.
Matt Todman.
Auburn had theirs last week, then.
Are we recruiting Brandon Smith, the 6'4" inside linebacker? Yes, he's out of Louisa, Virginia. You and I
Louisa.
Talked.
Yeah, he's good. Hey, Kirby went to see him.
There you go. So
Kirby went to see those three guys on one day.
Yeah, that's right. Darnell Wright, Doug Naster, and him. Ab Harding, we'll wrap this up. We'll make this our last question. He says,
Ab's
will Georgia be able to sign a number three quarterback? I think they will, Ab, but I don't know who it is just yet.
Stetson Bennett.
In my opinion, though, if they're going to try to sign a guy this year, I really don't even know that guy is necessarily on our list yet.
They might need to sign two.
Yeah.
You never know, but I really like Bennett, though.
I do, too.
Well, Bennett might be looking to go someplace where he can actually get a shot to play on the field.
So. He might, but at the same time, the fact that he came here knowing that.
I love that kid.
You got to give him credit for that.
Oh, I do.
And you got to tell him, which I would tell him, hey, look, you stayed here. You made an imprint here. Give yourself a chance. There's a lot can happen between now and next year. Hey, stick it out for one more year. See what happens.
And get him on scholarship if you can find a spot
for
him.
Well, they will.
Him.
You know.
And I think we're going to see some now that spring is over.
We are at 87 right now. I checked that out. That's the way I counted.
Yeah.
I mean, 86. You got 85, then 86, then 87. We got 87, don't we? If Chigbu comes out, it's 86.
That's what I was thinking. I put in there 3-2-1, then I'm pretty sure Michael Chigbu is going to take a medical redshirt or medical DQ or just hang it up. I could definitely see a situation where they're at 86, and, you know, after each spring, like clockwork, you always see one or two guys who –
You never know, and then you got guys that might not make their grades. But for the fans out there, when you talk about 85, you can have 85 total when fall camp starts that count.
Yeah.
Then anything that happens after fall
camp. So that's why you kind of need a guy or two to transfer or retire or whatever so that you can get your Jay Hayes in, you know.
To
take a guy and put him on like a Stetson and put him on scholarship. So you got to have those spots.
And that was good. That's what happened to Rod. I mean, we waited around. Wyatt didn't get in. We put Rod on scholarship. We got Crumpton in. Somebody else left.
Yep.
So it worked out great.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we got for this week. That's all we can fit in into our hour.
We didn't even have to talk about the quarterback situation either. That's good.
Isn't that amazing? We didn't even touch on Ryan Fields. We'll touch on it next week, I promise.
I'm serious about this.
We haven't talked about this.
Right. It's a good situation.
It is. Quick shout out. If you get a chance, swing by UGASports.com. All this information, the 40 updates on recruits, is only 27 cents a day. So you need to swing by UGASports.com.
You need to go up.
Yeah, we probably should, but we never will. And, of course, we want to shout out to Champions for letting us come in here and eat all their food. Thanks to 11 Live for letting us be on their webpage. Big shout out to Athens Ford for sponsoring us and letting us do this every week. I want to give a big shout out to Academia. Swing by and try their food. It's unreal. Their beer is out of this world. Also want to shout out to Your Pie. It's where I'll probably have lunch tomorrow. And Robert Wall and Cable East, thanks for being a big sponsor of the show. And we will see you folks next week, or probably next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.